Because I had 8 grandkids here. Now, Dorina and Alina, Chris and Gary were, you know, the icing on top of the cake. But the grandkids. And my wife and I are very rich because of what God has done through our kids. It was about 30-some years ago, I think, when I was told that Dory had just had Dante. I preached that Sunday morning. Dory had just gotten home from the hospital, I knew. So I was packing that morning, and Dot said, "Where are you going?" I said, "After church, I'm going to Tennessee." She said, "No, I'm flying out tomorrow." I said, "Maybe so. But I'm going to Tennessee right after church." And I did. I drove all the way, came in the wee hours of the morning, and we didn't have GPS by then, but somehow I found the way. You know, you use maps. And I found the apartment, and I knocked on the door. Dory must have been up breastfeeding Dante, and I could tell she came to the peephole, and I heard, "Dad! Dad!" She opened the door, and I came in, and I was told I had a grandson, but I had to make sure myself. Chris heard the noise going on, so he came up, "Man, what you doing here?" "Man, I came to see my grandson." Now, Chris and I talk. We talk sometimes every Saturday. We talk about what you're preaching on Sunday. And I said, "Man, you know, the baby dedication. Psalms 127. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord keeps the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, for he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children, Dante, are a heritage from the Lord." Yeah, blessed is the man who have his quiver, Dante, quiver, the arrows, have his quiver full of them. Yeah, like arrows in the hand of mighty warrior. So are children of one's youth. You have children while you're young, Dante. Young people supposed to be having children. And then it says, "They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies at the gate." The children shall speak for the parents. The children are going to grow up and speak for the parents. I didn't realize how important that was until my dad was in the hospital and the doctor said, "You know, Alan, your mom can't speak for your dad anymore." And I looked at Daddy and he said, "You and I are going to have to make a decision what we're going to do." I realized Psalms 127. They, the children, shall speak with the enemies at the gate. The children are going to grow up and speak for their parents. I thought how important that is. So parents, you need to raise your children right. Because one day they're going to have to speak for you. So you have that responsibility. But I said, "Chris, you know what, man? Last couple of months, I've been just dealing with prayer, one of the greatest ammunition that the Christians have, but they don't use it. They're in a battle all the time, but they don't use the most powerful ammunition, which is prayer." Chris says, "You know what? Man, we need that." I said, "Really?" Mark chapter 9. Go with me in your spirit. Copy of God's holy word. And there's something about this passage. I teach a men Bible study every Friday night. And I asked the men, "Tell me some hindrance to prayer." And one old guy said, "Hindrance? Well, the greatest hindrance is that people don't pray." I said, really? Yeah, you can't get an answer if you don't pray. I said, you have that right. People don't pray. Hindrances. And I had some things in mind that I was going to go, and one was Mark chapter 9. Because sometimes when people pray, they don't pray believing. They pray with doubts in their mind. They don't really believe God. A couple of things I need to tell you before I pray. I'm from Charleston, South Carolina. Right. So, you may hear an accent that'll come out, like the people from the island, man. That's just the way we talk. I was at the airport in Atlanta, and the lady was telling us, you know, it's time to come in, and I walked up. I said, ma'am, where are you from? She said, Charleston. I said, I was born at Roper Hospital. Really? How did you know I was from Charleston? That's when you open your mouth. I could tell. And we just chuckled as I walked on in. Secondly, you need to know that I have a speech impediment. I've been a stutterer all my life. One of the worst sermons I've ever preached was Father's Day. I was in Ephesians chapter 6. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I began to tell the congregation how in Washington, D.C., I was working for the State Department, and I couldn't answer the telephone, and they had me to go to George Washington University to take a speech therapy class. And they asked, who do you stutter around most? And I had to say, my dad. Because he used to tell me as a little boy, shut up, you talk more than a radio. So then I didn't know when to talk. Was I saying it correctly? And I developed a speech impediment, Mama said, from the first day I went to school in first grade. Because my dad said, shut up. You talk more than a radio. Speech impediment. Fathers, do not provoke your children. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Encourage to be an encourager. For Father's Day, I was preaching that passage, and I stuttered on every word that started with an F. What day was that? Father's Day. I couldn't say the word father. I was stuttering. And I felt so bad when I left church. And Dot knew it. Dot said, that was a good message. Because every man in the church heard, encourage your children. Encourage your children. Now you're an old man and you're still stuttering because your dad didn't encourage you as a little boy. Today's message is a father's cry for help. Something happens when a father cries out to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as I stand in this holy place to preach your holy word, speak through me, I pray. For your honor and glory, in Jesus' name, I ask. Amen. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus was up at the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, and they stayed up there for a while. And as they came back down the mountain, in verse 14 of Mark chapter 9, there was a crowd, a great multitude, the scribes who were disputing with the 9 disciples who didn't go up with Jesus. So in verse 16, Jesus asked the scribe, what are you discussing with them? With his boys. You know the scribes, they're always having something to dispute about. And Jesus wasn't there, so they were having a good time. But then, verse 17, one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, good word for Jesus, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes at his teeth, and become rigid. So that I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. They were powerless. Jesus' boys, his disciples, who at one time had gone out into the community, into the country, and they were casting out demons and healing people. At this time, they could not. Evidently, they were powerless. He, Jesus, answered him and said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Sometimes we need to take our children to the Lord. Oh, you better raise them up, do the best you can. But I want you to know that Jesus is the person you need to take them to, as we did today. We dedicated babies to the Lord. Prayerfully, as we continue, Jesus is going to do something with them, because Jeremiah says he has a plan for their lives. Then they brought him to him. Do you get the small H to the capital H? They brought the Son to the Son of God. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. And he, Jesus, asked the Father, "How long has this been happening to him? How long?" I hope you're getting the picture here. There is something going on with this boy. He may have a physical illness, a health problem, but I want you to see the demonic power that's going on. And it's not only with this boy, but it's in the world system. Because there is one who's the god of this world system, that is Satan. He and his demons want things to go their way. And they're going to do everything they can to keep you, your children, from Jesus. He wants to do according to his resume, steal, kill, and destroy. That's what Satan wants to do. So, we see in verse 21, so he asked the Father, "How long has this been happening?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But," get this now, don't miss this point, "but if you can do anything." You see, you got to see where he is now. He's been in the crowd. He's been with the scribes. He's been with the disciples of Jesus. He's been disappointed by people in the world. So he comes to Jesus and he says, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us." You see the us? My son. Myself. And help us. This man has come to Jesus. He said, "I brought my son to you." Okay. You weren't there, but I asked your disciples to help, and they didn't do it. They couldn't do anything. He said, "But can you help us?" Jesus said to him, if you can believe. Oh, I wish I could park right here for a little bit to say, if you, by the way, can believe, is it enough in you to believe? And then Jesus says, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, James 1, 5, 6, and 7, James says, now, if you're having problems, if you're having trouble, you need to pray. But when you do pray, don't pray doubting with unbelief. Because don't let that man think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. He's just like the wind on a sea, tossed to and fro. When you come to the Lord, believe. Let me tell you what believe is. Believe is one of those Greek words that has the idea of having been persuaded through some circumstances, through some things in life. And it comes from that word that simply means to be convinced, believe. You've been persuaded. Jesus said, if you can believe. Here's the message. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, with tears, he cried out, get this now, he is speaking aloud. He's in softly spoken. He's aloud. He's saying, help. Here's what he says. With tears, he's crying. There's something about when a man cries. When a man cries to the Lord, he's hurting so much for his family that he's crying. And this man says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Get these three things. First of all, he's honest. Yes, yes. Lord, I believe. Secondly, get the fact, he humbles himself. When a man humbles himself under the mighty hand of God, yes, yes. God is going to lift him up. Yes, yes. Understand, thirdly, this man is helpless. He's honest. Fathers, can you be honest? Everybody knows what's going on. So just be honest with what's happening in your life. You can't do nothing without the Lord. And humble yourself. You are helpless. Only the Lord can help you. That's when victory comes. I've been to your disciples. The scribes were there. The crowd was there. I brought my son to you. Now, help me. I love the fact that this man has come to Jesus. And the Bible tells us what happens from the result of this. Jesus heals the son. And people run, and they really want to see what's going on. But I love the disciples in verse 28. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Now, they didn't have a lot of time to fast anyway, but don't miss prayer. You can always go to Jesus when you've discovered no one else can help you. Jesus is always there to help you. The disciples were powerless because they were prayerless. If you want to accomplish anything in life, my friends, it's going to have to be through prayer. Would you take some time in your busyness of life and learn how to pray? You're in a battle, and there's an enemy. So you'll read Ephesians chapter 6, and it'll tell you about putting on the whole armor of God. And I chuckle because my guys in the Bible study were telling me about the whole armor of God. I said, can you name the pieces that you put on? And everybody were stuttering. We say the whole armor of God, but what are they? Those things you put on. But the last thing about the armor of God is prayer. He tells you to pray. The disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And what I love about the Lord's prayer, or the model prayer, is that in that prayer, Jesus said, you need to ask God to lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from the evil one. Because he's out to destroy you. But you need to know, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So when you pray, don't pray doubting, pray believing. God has done so much in your life that you can see that he is true to his word. Jeremiah says, you just call upon him. Come on, he's there. You know Jeremiah 33:3. He said, just call. He's going to answer you. His cell phone is always open. It's never busy. But what we don't do is pray. And also, when you do pray, pray believing, but you need to check the sin that's in your life. Because if you regard iniquity in your heart, God will not hear you. And you also need to know that the Lord's hand is not shortened, that he cannot deliver, save. Neither is his ear dull, that he cannot hear. Isaiah 59:1-2 says, but because of your sin, he will not hear you. If you know there's sin in your life, don't play with God, because he knows. So go ahead and be honest. God, help my unbelief. I believe. God, I humble myself to you. God, I am helpless. I need your help. So today, Strong Tower, a father cries. God responds. And he helps them. It's not just about the fathers, but it's about each of you. Your life will be so much better, so greater, if you learn to pray. I read something from Al Mohler. He was president of Southern Theological Seminary in Kentucky. And he said, as a little boy, he was going on a camping trip with some other guys. And his dad knew exactly what to do. He fixed him some Vienna sausage and some chocolate chip cookies. And he was ready to go. And when they got there, they were so excited, the guys seeing each other, that they were just playing around, let's say, the mulberry tree. And they played until it got dark. And they went into their little cabin and went to sleep. Early that morning, they heard boom, boom, boom. They woke up. And when they got themselves together, they went out. And I'm sorry, Alina, but they saw three rattlesnakes on the hood of a car. And they said, where were these? Who killed these? And one guy said, well, we killed them around the mulberry tree this morning. The mulberry tree is where they were playing last night. Here's the point. You better pray, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one, because he's everywhere. But God, who's the all-knowing, all-seeing God, has your back and your slack. He'll take care of you. But don't you cease to pray, to ask him, God, I'm helpless. My family, my kids are crazy. Help them, Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege to encourage your people to grow and to know you. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. Pastor Chris.
Would you stand with me on your feet? When Pastor Max started preaching some of his message to me yesterday, he started talking about my father. And the two of them, again, really good friends. And I told him that one of the things I love most about my dad is that he was a man of prayer. I just love how my dad prayed. And my father was a triple amputee before he went to heaven. And before they took his leg, it took both legs and one of his fingers. But before they took his first leg, the whole family was around the bed, and I'll never forget it, because we came, of course, to pray for him. And in that moment, he told us how he prays for us.
My Lord.
And he went around his bed pointing to every son, daughter, grandchild, saying how he prays specifically for us. And then he broke down talking about how he prays for us. Fathers, the greatest thing we can do. Yes, love God. Love your baby mama, but make sure you be a man of prayer. You don't have to have a lot of words. It's from the heart. Honesty, humility, confessing that you're helpless. And that's just not for fathers, that's also for mothers. What I'd like to do is take a moment to pray. Because there's no way we can be in this world and not be going through something that we can't fix. I'm gonna keep it on Front Street, which we have a family member right now. I won't tell you which side, but he's a father. And I'm afraid that he's too prideful to come to Jesus for help. and he is struggling. He is at war with everybody because he won't humble himself and come to God and ask God for help. And he's wasting time. And I wonder if there's somebody in here that says, Pastor, I need some prayer, man. I might be in the position of the boy. I need somebody to pray for me until I can get the strength to pray for myself. For you may be someone like the father that has a need in your life. And it's not just about the child, it's about us. Let's take some time in the house of prayer to just talk to the Lord, okay? Humble yourself, be honest. Tell God you need help. Let's be still before the Lord. Let's talk to him. Talk to him. Father God, your son said, bring him to me. And we also know he says to each one of us, bring it to me. Because if you could have fixed it, you would have already fixed it. Bring it. Bring him. Bring her. Bring that. Bring yourself to me. I thank you, Lord, for the power that you have. That you can turn things around. You can turn things that are upside down, right side up. You can fix broken things. You can heal things that are sick and depleted. You can do the miraculous. All things are possible with a God like you. And even when our faith is not as strong as we would like it to be, we come to you with what we have, saying, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Because you remain faithful, even when we're not faithful. Because you're going to make sure that when the blessing comes, when the answer to prayer comes, the only person that's going to get the glory is you. It won't be because we had all the faith and we prayed the prayer. No, God, it's going to be because you and you alone did it. But you give grace to the humble. So we humble ourselves and say, Lord, help us. I thank you that you're the kind of God that although you sit high, you look low, you lean low, and you listen low. And even when we can't articulate the words, you know the moans and the groans in our heart. You're a good, good father. Lord, may we use this weapon, this ammunition called prayer. May we not just pray when we're in trouble and it's the last ditch effort, but teach us how to pray daily and walk with you because it may keep us out of some ditches. May Strong Tower be a church of prayer, a house of prayer. Thank you for our intercession ministry. Thank you for the elders. Thank you for the deacons. Thank you for the staff. Thank you for the membership. We are not professionals. We do not have it all together. We need Jesus. And I'm so glad that you don't shame us. You don't condemn us. You just say, bring it to me. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. Thank you, God. There's nothing we're going to tell you that you don't already know. And we bless you. And we thank you for the man of God who brought the word of God to the people of God for this hour. Build him up, strengthen him, protect him from the evil one. And Lord, when we leave this place, we know we'll never be away from your presence. We thank you. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And it's according to the power that is working within us. To him be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority, both now and forevermore. And all of those who believe God can say, amen, amen. You got to hug about three folk before you leave. Got to hug somebody before you leave. Have a blessed day in the Lord.